Would you like to learn how to win a fight? Would you like some keys to victory? No matter the fight, mental, physical, or spiritual, you have the power to overcome. In today's episode, I'll show you where your power lies. I can show you how to defeat your enemies. God bless you and welcome to Yesterday Ended, Healing the Traumas of Life. I'm your host, Dennis Dobbin, and I'm here to teach you how to walk in freedom. Give a listen. One of the best ways to win a fight is to not get into one. It's all too easy to be suckered into some kind of fight. Somebody yells at you, somebody insults you, somebody tells a lie about you. Then there's the whispers from within. Has there been a voice in your ears challenging you? Is your past trying to come out of the grave with whispers of your former failures and faults? The question I place before you today is, who are you listening to? The trick is to not be tricked when the dark voice speaks. Speak the truth, speak the light, the only way to win the fight. Speak the truth to yourself. Don't argue with the corpse. The old man is dead. Speak with Jesus instead. Think the truth and speak it loud. Don't ponder the haunting past. The past is gone. Today is new. A new creation he has made you. Ponder deep the peace God gives. Ignore the words of yesterday. Stay in prayer and hear his voice. Therein is victory and power to rejoice. Our past, our sinful nature, is called the old man in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are told that we are new creations and that old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Trouble is, though we have been spiritually made a new creation, we still have the same memories and thoughts that must now be replaced with the new. We have those memories and habits and mindsets that can attack us and steal the peace of God that he gave us. Sometimes we feel like the writer of Psalm 71, verse 10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Those voices inside that endeavor to haunt us are our enemies. They speak against us. They're looking for a way to steal the truth out of our heart and convince us, as verse 11 says, that God has forsaken us. The truth is, God lives within us. We are never alone. When we are faced with thoughts from the past, we need to turn to the truth. Recently, I was endeavoring to learn a new skill of editing my podcast on video. I am practicing recording on video, getting ready to add YouTube to the list of platforms or venues where my podcast can be found. I will, of course, continue to have this audio version available also, but soon you'll be able to see my smiling face. Anyway, as I struggled through learning this new process, I became frustrated. Then the old voices of my past descended on me like a dog on a bone. I was being chewed on. I actually at one point even entertained the thought of not doing the YouTube channel. But I stopped. I got quiet and I prayed. After working on editing a video practice session, I moved on to trying to decide what poem to use for this podcast. I was looking at many poems I had already written, but was unsatisfied that they were not what was needed for the moment. In that time of quiet prayer, an idea came to my mind. I wrote the poem you heard a moment ago in about 10 minutes. I needed to turn my heart towards the voice of truth and away from the voice of being overwhelmed. How often do you win arguments with yourself? We all argue with ourselves. The challenge is to know when you're talking to the real you or the old you or something worse. Sometimes we need to think things through and we can get into a bit of a debate of what to do. But when our past endeavors to rise up from the grave, we must learn to ignore its lies of shame and blame and condemnation and only speak the truth to ourselves. When you are challenged, how do you react? Some people turn to some form of medication to calm themselves. We need to turn to the true meditation of dwelling upon God and speaking His word to ourselves. A man named Asaph, who was the writer of Psalm 77, found himself in a bad place for a while. Listen to the deep, dark place he had gotten to. Psalm 77, verses 3 and 4. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Asaph tries to think about God, but he's got a lie in his head about who God is. He has become overwhelmed and is dwelling on being stuck. He has gotten to the point of being so troubled that he is in a state of depression and cannot speak. Instead of remembering the promises of God, he questions God's goodness. We continue in verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. The word Selah means consider what has been spoken. He's telling people who are reading this to deeply consider his depressed state of mind. But finally, Asaph comes to realize his problem. Verse 10, And I said, This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. His infirmity, he realized, was considering or thinking more about his doubt about God than the truth of who God had been for him for many years. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. When we are challenged, what do we think and what do we talk about? Yesterday, when I was endeavoring to figure out how to do my podcast on YouTube, I looked at the big picture of everything I needed to do and let it crash in on me. Instead of dealing with one element of the project before me, I let all the parts gang up on me. You need to be able to do this, and you have to do this now, and you can't slow down, and you have to, and you have to, and you have to. And then I stopped and prayed. Then I remembered the work of the Lord. I remembered all that He has done for me throughout my years. I remembered the other difficult things that I had to learn and overcome, and how He led me through it all. One of our biggest enemies is our memory. We can remember and focus on the trials and the temptations that turn us away from the truth. We must stop fighting with the enemy. Our old man, our old ways were crucified, died, and were buried. All things are now new. We must speak the truth that our enemy has been defeated. We know the end of the book. We have already won. Our enemy whispers and shouts and cries and sighs to get us to look towards them instead of looking to God and the truth. We cannot let anything distract us from thinking and believing the truth. So what do we do with our thoughts when we are attacked? One of my all-time favorite verses gives us the proper instruction. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The word for mind here is far more than simply your brain. It is the very foundation of how you think. It is your purpose. It is the framework of your thoughts. We must stay our mindset upon God. We must trust in Him. We dare not turn back to the things we trusted to relieve our pain in the past. We dare not turn back to the emotions we allowed to overtake us when we were challenged or cornered by trial or temptation. We must purposefully and intentionally place our heart, soul, mind, and strength upon God. We do so because we have learned to trust in Him. If God has answered one of your prayers, He will answer more. It's not about your goodness, it's about His goodness. Even when we are weak and sinful, the Father looks over us, waiting for us to turn to Him. Religion teaches us that God abandons us in our weakness. That does not sound like a loving Father. That does not sound like the God who gave us His Son when we were His enemies. That does not sound like the forgiving Father of the parable of the prodigal son, who forgave his wayward son and fully reinstated him into the family when he returned. There were no acts of contrition. There was no good work to do. The prodigal son showed repentance by his returning to the Father. And think of this. The prodigal son returned not because of sorrow for what he had done, but because of hunger. He did confess his sin to the Father, who then immediately reinstated him. The Father's love outweighs our sin. The Father's grace outweighs our sin. So where is your focus? On the goodness of God or on how good you think you have to be? Who are you listening to? The forgiving Father or religion trying to tell you you're not good enough? The Apostle Paul gave us further instruction in the New Testament on what to do with our thoughts. Let's read in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You have a choice to be careful, which means being anxious, or to be thankful in everything. You're not supposed to complain to God. You are to let your requests be made known unto Him. And here's the key. Let your requests be made known unto God. Are you talking with God? How is your relationship with Him these days? Are you just talking about the problem to other people? Are you simply complaining? We have a choice of anxiety or thankful prayer. Then verse 7 continues that when we approach God with thankful prayer, His peace, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard, like an army, our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace that passes understanding. Sometimes things have happened to us that we don't understand or can't understand. Our God offers us a peace that passes understanding. I don't have to understand everything. I simply need to trust in God and turn to Him. Many times that moment of peace will bring understanding, but His peace goes beyond it. We ask questions at time of how can something happen to us or a loved one. God's peace goes beyond the need to understand everything. And finally, verse 8 gives us what we are to think about. These are the things we are to ponder and stay our minds upon, those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report with virtue and praise. This is not a suggestion. It is a command. This is what you must think. This is if you want to have peace. Ponder deep the peace God gives. Ignore the words of yesterday. Stay in prayer and hear His voice. Therein is victory and power to rejoice. You are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here's your homework assignment. Repeat this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, over and over to yourself today. And do it tomorrow also. In fact, do it as long as it takes for you to believe and receive this truth into your heart. I had an episode a few weeks ago entitled The Rock Within. In that episode, I teach that we must not budge from the truth. When the winds of trial and temptation blow against us, we don't move because of the rock within. The rock is Christ. Now take this truth that you are a new creation and that your past has passed away and don't budge. Stay your mind on this truth. Soon the voices of trial and temptation will begin to fade and you will stand victorious because the voice you're now listening to is the voice of truth.